All right, you're listening to the WGXC Afternoon Show, Saturday Afternoon Show. I'm Tom Rowe, and we are live from the Wave Farm Study Center right now in Acre, New York, and I'm sitting here with Mendy and Keith Obadike. Did I got it right? Yes, I did. Right. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
How are you?
Thanks for having us.
We're doing well here. We're here to feature your net opera, The Sour Thunder. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is a piece that we actually started writing like in the late 90s, mm-hmm. But we kind of fully realized the piece in 2002. We did a kind of stage / online version of it, streaming from Yale University. See, what else can I say about it? You want to talk about just the story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story, we called it double-sided. We wove two different kinds of stories. One is an autobiographical story about me going from Atlanta in the U.S. to Santiago in the Dominican Republic and learning Spanish, and sort of changing my sense of my identity, looking to connect across the African diaspora. And the other side was a kind of speculative story about a girl named Sesom, who goes from one world where the beings communicate through scent to a world where beings communicate through spoken language, and learning to speak in spoken language and having her identity change as a result.
So a story about speaking through smell for the radio.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That actually should have been the subtitle.
Yes, yes, yes.
So some of the pieces on it deal with one story, and some of the pieces deal with another. Some of the songs or pieces tell both stories at the same time, right? So we kind of go back and forth, weaving in and out of these two stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is this your first net opera or first give folks a kind of an idea of what kind of artist you are, I guess, if this is something you usually do, or is it out of the ordinary?
Yeah, so when we made this piece, we were making a lot of different kinds of things for the internet specifically,
right.
And so music was one of the things we did, but we were making a lot of different kind of artworks for the internet, and you know, we've been making music together for a while, and we've been really into a lot of kind of downtown New York opera, but we were interested in like what it would mean to, you know, have a piece that streamed online or that had some content online and other content that happened in a live performance space. And so this was our first time doing something of this scale. You know, since this project, we've gone on to do other kind of live musical events, but this was our first sort of collaboration like this.
We should also say that when we did this at Yale, we did it in two different spaces at the same time, and so we projected from the web what was happening in the opposite space. And so the internet was sort of a space of memory for the characters that were in one theater, and the other theater, what was happening in the other theater was like what the world that they came from. So they switched spaces throughout.
The audience switched spaces.
The characters and then the audience switched spaces at the intermission. So you started out in one theater, you ended up in another.
Is there a way folks can recreate that at home, that they can listen to a part of it in one room and then...
Yeah, you know, just turn on two radios, and then when we get about halfway through, we just go to the kitchen. And it'll be just like you were there for the premiere.
Well, I'm guessing at the time of day it is, and the way people use radio, that you'll probably have some folks who will be in the car part of the way and then get out and maybe listen on the way inside.
So it's like an enhanced version.
That's right.
Can you tell us some of the other, do you consider yourselves opera artists, or are you sound artists, or are you visual artists, or can we give our audience a little background on what you do?
I think the short version of what we say is that we make art, music, and literature, and we do those things in really different kinds of spaces. You know, we work in museums, we do gigs like a band, we work in theater sometimes, we do readings, so... we show up wherever people will listen to us, we have a more recent opera now called Four Electric Ghosts that we showed at the Kitchen in New York a couple of years ago, and now we've been sort of taking it around to art spaces and universities. We just did it at University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, and we'll probably be doing it at Princeton maybe next year. And so that piece is sort of related in some ways to the Sour Thunder. I mean, it kind of, the Four Electric Girls grew out of that, and we're working on a new piece now that we'll probably be showing in the next year. Mm-hmm. So this was really the first collaboration like this for us.
That's right.
Since then, we've gone on to do different kinds of large musical performance pieces.
And
where is that CD?
But you're in with some fine company on the Bridge Records that put this out with Cecil Taylor, George Crumb, and Cecil Taylor with Matt Maneri. So you've got some great folks on this. What is the label? Bridge Records?
Bridge Records.
Yeah, we were thrilled, lucky to be to be working with Bridge. Great folks, David and Becky. And the way it happened is actually a composer that we're a big fan of, Paul Lansky. We actually sent the piece to him, and because some of the ideas, some of the musical ideas were inspired by a project he'd done, and so we said, hey, we really like your stuff, would you listen to our thing? And he said, oh, let me introduce you to my friends at Bridge, and they were kind enough to put it out for us, so we're really happy to be on Bridge. It's a great home for this project.
So if you're tuning in, just tuning in today, we're here with Mendy and Keith Obadiki at the Wavefarm Study Center, and we're about to hear their net opera, The Sour Thunder, and we're talking to them about some of their artwork before we play the piece. What other projects? You'd mentioned a couple installations that you have working or just finished.
That's right. We've done, in the last year, I guess, we had two new sound installations. One is called American Cipher, and that was at Bucknell University.
Yeah, the Samick Art Gallery at Bucknell University. American Cipher was a long story behind it, but in a nutshell, it was a piece, a meditation on Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, who was his slave and possibly his mistress.
Mm-hmm. And his wife's half-sister as well.
And so we made a sound installation that was a kind of field recordings from Monticello and a bell that Sally Hemings owned. So that was that piece, and it was out for a couple of months at Bucknell University, and we'll probably be showing it again in New York soon. And it's also a book of poetry that goes with that sound installation. Mm-hmm. The other piece
is African Metropole, Sonic City, Lagos.
So African Metropole is part of a series of sound works based on soundscapes from African cities. And so it's the first in the series. So we haven't done the others yet, but we have other cities coming up. And so we originally showed that piece at Ramapo College in New Jersey. And then a couple of months ago, we just showed it at Mocada in Brooklyn. And we're touring that piece around now. So these are two sound installations that we have traveling to different spaces right now.
And we're at Free 103.9. We're interested in our transmission art and radio art, and you guys have done a number of projects previously that have, I guess you've used the internet as your kind of palette or canvas. I don't know which one you prefer.
So, we've been following Free 103 for a while, and that's because a couple of streams of activity influenced us. And I don't know if these people at the time thought of this work as intersecting. I mean, we were influenced by, like Robert Ashley's television operas and, a lot of sort of 70s radio work. And so those things kind of came together for us in The Sour Thunder. So The Sour Thunder is us trying to process all these sort of different influences that people might call radio works or telematic works. Mm-hmm. And so we really got into doing that stuff in our practice in the 90s. So we did some things that lived online, some things that were streaming projects that were sort of site-specific yet streaming at the same time, like The Sour Thunder.
I would also say that one of the things that is sort of a thread throughout the different kinds of works we've done over the years is making works that function as a music, art, and literature at the same time, but sometimes in ways that people haven't done before. So, like, the internet is a good space because you can look, you can read, you can listen, and it's not like being in a theater where you can do all those three things. But we wanted to do things like we would make internet art projects that had a musical arm of the project and a more visual arm of the project. And so when we took things into a live space, we wanted to also connect to the streaming, because that was part of that was part of where we had been doing this work that did all those things before.
Yeah, like we did a piece in 2007 that was a sound installation. So we have a series of projects that American Cypher is a part of that are about American history. And so this piece was about the abolition of the slave trade. And so in 2007, it had been 200 years since the abolition of the British slave trade. So we did a 200-hour-long house song. And so it streamed from Northwestern University because they commissioned the piece. But, you know, the great thing about streaming something online is that people don't have to sit there for the 200-hour yeah, piece.
They can dip in.
Dip in and dip out, you know, as if it's an extremely long broadcast. And people can interact with it as they like. So some people were, you know, listening to the piece as they were in their office. Mm-hmm. Some people listened to it in public spaces like it was a broadcast. And so those kind of things are interesting and unique about sort of streaming stuff online as opposed to, you know, just doing a site-specific sound installation.
Yeah.
The way people use art is much different when they are at their own ends instead
yeah.
of when they're at a museum or at a theater or something where they're forced for a period of time to deal with something.
I mean, the way we think about it is sort of the best kind of public art, right? Because you can, it's public art, it's available to everybody, you can have it in your home, you can have this kind of intimate relationship with it, you can turn it off when you're done with it.
I was really interested in the people who told us things like, yes, I listen to it when I get up in the morning, and then I go to the office and I listen to it and bring people into my office. And then, you know, there were a couple of people who communicated with us about actually listening to Big House Disclosure, for example, in a lot of different spaces and a lot of different in ways that a lot of work is either intimate or public, but not like all of those things in one day.
So I guess a radio broadcast is a kind of mixture of both worlds.
Exactly,
it starts at one time, and you have to be there for the particular time, but you could be doing the dishes or driving your car or who knows what folks are doing while we're talking here.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's this kind of really fascinating thing of, you know, having distance and intimacy at the same time. For us, that's really thrilling, you know.
Yeah.
So we are drawn to these kind of forms and, you know, this sort of mix between recording and real-time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're coming up on we have got to get the Sour Thunder started, so we make our station ID at the top of the next hour. Do you want to give it a final introduction before and I'll get it going?
Yeah, so as we said before, this story is about a being who communicates with scent, and she comes to a world where she has to learn language, and she's sent on a mission by her people to retrieve this thing called the Sour Thunder.
All right, so here is Keith and Mendy Obadiki and the Sour Thunder on Free 103.9 and WGXC.
Black people at the Puerto Plata airport looked like we did in Atlanta. And even when I couldn't translate their words, their voices had this rubbing sound and rode up and down musical scales just like ours. Black people at the Puerto Plata airport, though, didn't look at you like we did in Atlanta. They let their eyes slide off you. A different kind of polite look. That is how I found the black people from Atlanta in the Puerto Plata airport. And Kelly was not among them at first. And it was a long time before we got where we were going, together.
Song arrives in this new world, safe, confused, and a little nauseous. Nothing smells like home or security here. But that difference she expected. At least until she finds Blue Jasper. The trees don't cooperate. They refuse to match the landmark map. She already has the sinking feeling that none of her years of training are going to be helpful in this strange smelling place.
Walking past this merengue radio station corner. 3 months walking with our shared sneers and disavows. 3 months walking from Atlanta to Santiago. We spent 3 months without words for this. I smell danger under the skin. Everything new. Scent of never finding my way. It's in love with me. I let it tickle my nose and dream of tasting it. I let it tickle my nose. Think I will stay. The university was something like a country club. It had these rolling hills and shade trees, but it was guarded by young men with big guns and fatigues who shot the breeze by the entrance gate. Every now and then, something reminded me of home. A Harlem, USA t-shirt. A faux Kente bag. A familiar face. But mostly these things only made me long for the things I associated with them. Black bookstores. People who talked about energies and carried incense. Being called sister by complete strangers. The familiar things did not come with other familiar things, and so they made me feel most foreign. But since I was not white, students didn't see me as foreign. And since I was not Latina, they did not see me as coming home. So for a long time, many did not have a reason to get to know me on campus. But outside was another story. It wasn't just that I looked foreign off campus that made people think they should talk to me. Right outside the entrance, on Calle del Sol, There were brothers whose job it was to talk to possible passengers for the guaguas, parked and waiting on the side of the street. They made promises of flowers and love to women passing by. If only they would get on the bus to La Vega. Right there, it smelled like a memory trying to imprint itself on you. Exhaust fumes, goats, melting peanut brittle, honey, and the tinny merengue horns coming from a cheap radio on a vendor's table, played against the bending bass lines, whirring from the systems of passing cars. The smell of memory. Brothers on Calle del Sol always seem to remember and repeat what people had said or done in passing the day before. One time, a woman who went to Spelman with me made the mistake of giving someone the bird, and afterwards, every time she passed, everyone gave her the bird. Even if you did nothing there, they remembered and named your look. Whenever I passed by, I heard them whisper, "La Rastafariana, La Rastafariana." Sometimes they would call out to me, "Oye, Rastafariana, ¿quieres ir a La Vega? Te compro flores mañana." Early on, most of my conversations went like that.
Hill or ride away. I trust no odor will interfere. I find for Jasper, yeah. I succeed, all Laura is mine. Lilac rush will fear no more. And if by chance I turn the wrong way, there's one more thing I have. Just as I the other one, I don't know what I got, nowhere to turn. Lost in a world full of what I found. I catch my breath and run faster, faster.
Saison decides to make her way downhill. While climbing, she comes across a warm-hearted child. The child tries to communicate with sound, while Saison tries to communicate with scent.
This strange clay knows what it wants to become. Words thicken around my green thoughts, swelling, grounding me here.
Who was speaking prayer. I slowed down to see if I could understand any. One brother caught me with me and turned towards me.
Hablas creole.
I explained. I explained, I did not speak curls.
We saw for a while and standing.
He told me he was familiar with my language. I told him my middle name was Haitian. Mawei Lata, he said. Es aquí nos vemos en la casa. I practiced Spanish until he was satisfied with my pronunciation. And he smiled and said, hablo cinco idiomas. Es bueno que tú hablas. Then he left with the other vendor to sell their peanut candy.
In Santiago, they called me La Americana, La India, La Rastafariana, La Gringa, sometimes La Morena, and they asked, ¿Eres Boricua? But never called me Negra. And people who asked me what I was never quite knew how to take it when I called myself Negra. I began to compose and memorize brief explanations of distinct slave legacies that could be given without missing una vuelta if on the dance floor, or mi parada if in a concho, or mi clase if at school. Where was Adrian Piper with her little cards when you needed her? Saludos, hermana o hermano. Si tienes esta tarjeta, debe ser porque has asumido mi abuelo con un dicho descreditado sobre los negros. O quizás has rechazado mi deseo de ser comprendido como negra. Entiendo que hay diferencias entre las ideologías de los colonizadores europeanos y que las diferencias influyen cómo pensamos en nosotros hoy en día. ¿De dónde soy yo? Todos de descendencia africana, históricamente hemos sido tratados de acuerdo con el mismo ley opresivo. Es por esta razón que en los Estados Unidos un negro puede ser de cualquier color. La palabra negra, para mí y otros también, representa unas comunidades, unas culturas y unas posturas políticas, y no solamente un color. Soy hija de África y orgullosa. Vine a la República Dominicana para encontrar a los otros descendientes de mis antepasados. No quiero hacerte incómoda, ni pienso que quisiste hacerme incómoda cuando hiciste lo que hiciste. Solo lo quiero mantener verdadero. Paz, Mindy. Unfortunately, I hadn't heard of Adrian Piper yet. But soon, I was able to smile at people as I gave my little speeches. And as they looked in my eyes asking, is this girl for real? I was not finding people who shared my desire for dialogue among Africans in the diaspora, but I did tell people who I was. And I decided I should make peace and just meet who I could meet, rather than try to make everybody care about the diaspora. This plan didn't always work. One night, four black American girls walked home from a week party together. We happened upon a gaggle of brothers just hanging out on the corner.
This was like 3 o'clock in the morning, mind you, and there were those young men with big guns on patrol, apparently on the lookout for gaggles of brothers with nothing to do at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I guess you could call them brothers, all of them looking black and wearing hip-hop gear. They were speaking English, so no one could understand them. In the Dominican Republic, people called people who spoke English and wore baggy clothes yo's, because they were always saying, hey yo. Anyway, we stopped to ask these guys if they were black. I don't remember what they said exactly now, but it wasn't yes. Don said something about them being all hip-hop. They looked at my locks and asked if we were Jamaican. Don, who was Jamaican, said yes. We got into an argument about whether hip-hop was black music. We said it was. They said, what about all the Puerto Rican MCs? We said, exactly. And everybody laughed. One guy asked me, so do you kids speak Spanish or what? I said, pues tú sabes, hablo español, pero... He cut me off and said, I don't speak Spanish. It's not my style. Then we all started talking about going to a merengue hip-hop club. But then La Guardia came in a truck and started to arrest people. I broke out first. Kelly, Don, and Jelia came down Calle 6 behind me.
Child thinks her friends who are conducting research on scent technology might know blue jasper. The child leaves his home with a group of brilliant teenage social dropouts called the Metas. They live on the outskirts of town, earning money by developing new medical technology for healthcare corporations. With their profits, they televise expensive circus-like stunts that often end in death to attest to the impermanence of human life and the suffering eternally linked to the money they love. When Sesom arrives, they are singing a hymn.
You wonder who and how to fool you. embarrassing.
Same diasporic connection, and we both poured libation before drinking, ending with a cheer to salud, amistad, y negritud. But there was still one thing we couldn't talk about: amistad,
y negritud.
It was a Friday night, so all the vendors would be around the corner turning their radios to the same station, and the teenagers would be cruising around El Monumento. But we were still walking in the dark among the mansions of Estrellas Adalá when it happened.
Blue Jasper is an unknown name here, but I answer your unasked questions. Your need for me, unimagined, is like a blade of grass shivering between your knuckles to blow through. It shucks when it sounds. Slicks down the thirst with snap-on magic. All of a sudden, this almost always must have been.
One day, as if a gift for our patience, a group of self-defined black women came from Santo Domingo to lecture on Afro-Dominican religions. That weekend, we went to visit Identidad, a cultural center for black women. Ochi, the director, greeted our group. Ochi wore her hair tied back in an afro puff. Every day she wore a loose-fitting top made of African-like print and had a deep voice that shook you when she laughed. Kelly and I hugged her at the door. The place had red, black, and green flags on the wall, and inside there were several women with their hair in braids and afro puffs. One woman played in my hair and said, "Ay, es exactamente como mío." After our group learned about the center's work, Kelly and I stayed behind and talked to Ochi way into the night. She took us out for beers and called her roommate, Xiomara, to join us. Xiomara was a jazz singer who wore mud cloth and spandex.
Unbeknownst to Saison and the warm-hearted child have not been completely honest. They have heard of an alien who knows about scent, but until Saison's arrival, they thought Blue Jasper was a myth. They plan to use Saison until they know all she knows about scent, but worry she will share her knowledge with others and try to overpower them someday. They go into council to decide what to do with her.
To claim. She will leave knowing us too well and with a tongue we cannot trust.
Dropping
by
a yellow
mumble
in
the
ribs, a
sweating
orchard
in
the night, a
pulsing
funk
beneath
the
tongue.
You can smell it
if your ears are open.
Smell it. like a dog smells earthquakes. Kissing
your
neck, it
licks
at your nose.
Tongue,
your name, whispering
your
fears. It's a
rolling
ball, wide as your mother's wish. You will know
when it's coming,
but it
can't be
stopped.
Say Soul follows the scent of Blue Jasper. He, in turn, gives her the Sour Thunder. Mission accomplished, she prepares to return to Salakadas that very night, leaving a foreign land that now feels like home. Even though she longs to stay, Say Soul understands that she will be in danger until she's home. She returns to bring the Sour Thunder to Salakadas. She decides to give a sound communication as she releases the Sour Thunder at the ritual ceremony. This has never been done before.
The smell we cannot trust.
They'll ask for your money, she said. But don't worry your American head. Relax, enjoy the plantation. Later make a group donation. You might volunteer to teach sanitation. Tell them not to drink the water they bathe in. And just in case you're looking for a mate, you should know the one in green has AIDS. It's a meeting of three nations, American, Dominican, and Haitian. Alien worker, host, and tourist. And I'm not even sure there's a reason why they have us meet. Out of work sugar cane cutters with nothing to eat, who nonetheless offer the guests a treat. What they give is something sweet. So I chew and I suck that sweet, sweet cane. And the taste I recognize as the labor in their eyes. Yes, I chew and I suck that sweet, sweet cane. The sweet, the heat, and hunger, too much to bear. I need to get out of here. I find myself again in a land amongst my kin. This time Atlanta is my home. It's the same old streets I roam, but something has definitely changed. An old vendor stakes a brand new claim to different but quite familiar tastes. I can't believe what I face on this concrete jungle block. Just like Dominican island docks, you can find sugar cane and platinum. Don't worry, you ain't even got to know who grew it or how to say it. Just point, that's why they display it. Exotic fresh fruit from off a truck. Still I can't resist, I press my luck. I chew and I suck that sweet, sweet cane. And it comes as no surprise that the taste I recognize, yeah, it tastes the same. That sweet, sweet cane, that hungry sweet, too sweet to bear, will always take me there. When I chew and I suck that sweet, sweet cane. When I chew and I suck that sweet, sweet cane. Sweet, sweet cane. Sweet, sweet cane.
This is Nadine Terrio-Copeland from the TransX Transmission Art Symposium in Toronto. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Radius presents a new series called Sketchpad. The Sketchpad series is a monthly presentation of audio material that relates to content from previous episodes of Radius. The series highlights peripheral work that influences research and production. This programming is organized for the radio show Transmission Arts on WGXC 90.7, a program of Free 103.9.
Tune in Radius Sketchpad the fourth Saturday of every month at 2 p.m. on Free 103.9 online radio and WGXC 90.7 FM Accra. This is Tumbra with the weather for WGXC for Saturday, January 19th, and Sunday, January 20th. Overnight, there's a slight chance of snow showers after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 27. Then the National Weather Service kicks in with a wind advisory starting at 6 a.m. through 4 p.m. on Sunday. Winds from the west, 20 to 35 miles per hour with gusts 45 to 55 miles per hour. Strongest gusts may knock down power lines, so there may be power outages. Wind advisory is from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. Sunday night, there's a chance of snow showers, also Sunday during the day, with a high of 36 during the day and a low around 11 Sunday night. Monday, the chance of snow showers continues, mostly cloudy with a high near 24 and a low around 6 Monday night. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime, whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather. Community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe. You're listening to the WGXC Saturday afternoon show, and we are here in the Acre studio at Wave Farm with Keith and Mendy Obadiki. And we just heard their net opera, The Sour Thunder. And let me welcome them back into the studio. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
How are you guys? How was that? Did that sound good? Did that work out
it
on the radio?
Great, it was great. Here,
yeah. We were happy to hear it again. It's been a while since we heard it, so yeah, it was fun for us. Yeah.
This is the third version, or you did one at Yale and one at the...
We did it at Yale, and we've done different versions of it. We've done like versions of it as a reading, as a kind of a concert reading. We did, let's see, a version at the Studio Museum in Harlem. We did it at the Neuberger Museum at Purchase. Mm-hmm.
We did a version at Duke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Duke University. So yeah, so we've done different versions of it in different places. Yeah.
And if anyone tuned in late, give them an. And it was confused. Can you want to give them an idea of what they were hearing?
Yeah. So it was a sci-fi story mixed with autobiographical elements from Mindy's life.
Yes.
Mindy's already very interesting life. You know? It doesn't really need a sci-fi story, but we thought we'd add one.
So the sci-fi story is about a girl who travels from a world where people communicate with scent to a world where people communicate with spoken language, and she's supposed to go to one world, get a scent from that world, and bring it back. But it's complicated by her spoken language.
And the autobiographical story is about Mindy traveling to the Dominican Republic, trying to connect with community there, learning Spanish, and being changed by learning the language. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea of translation that's happening in both stories as we sort of go back and forth between the worlds.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like John Waters had the movie that you could scratch and sniff. This is kind of like the radio play.
And we should have included sort of scratch and sniff stuff in the CD booklet or on the website. We had it in the live space. So we had, for the show, we had to find a scent designer. And so we handed out scents at different parts of the show, and you'd smell things and they'd tell you parts of the story.
And we work with different scent designers throughout, our different versions of it too. So that's been fun.
And so we're waiting for people to develop some kind of sort of smell transmission system that you can do over the internet, and then we'll sort of add that stuff to the website.
It's a great idea. There's another artist who's got a piece about radio emotions as radio instead of smell, radio transmits different emotions and works with all kinds of things like that. Was it hard to work with smell is a whole different language. Is that hard to work in a verbal medium?
It's interesting because it's also different with every scent designer. And the people we've worked with have, we work with the painter Iona Brown. She was our scent designer for one thing. And she actually has a lot of ideas about scent and her paintings. But we kind of have left that open a lot of times.
Yeah, for I think one of the last versions we did, we worked with some friends who have a bath and body company. And so, you know, what they do is, you know, make smells in addition to other things. And so they had a lot of really definite ideas. And so the question always is, like, how does the audience interpret it? But, you know, you can ask those same kind of questions about, you know, abstract sounds, right?
Exactly.
So how subjective is it?
And I guess radio audiences are smelling many different things.
That's right.
So you have to insert your own smells.
I don't know. There's a secret to the last scent. I don't know if we should.
No.
Okay.
Never mind. The radio audience will have to.
They'll have to get that. Yeah.
Or smell their radios close.
Stick your nose very close to your radio for this last segment.
All right. Well, we want to thank you very much for coming in. You have another opera that is coming out, or
Four Electric Ghosts is a piece that we've been working on most recently, and so the book will be out probably at the end of this month, 1913 Press. So we're excited about that.
Exactly.
So Four Electric Ghosts is the new piece.
Yes.
All right, and so we'll look for that later this month. And thank you for coming out, and we love to hear the Sour Thunder today.
Thank you for having us. We enjoy being here.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you'll see the Saturday Afternoon Show. We are now going to go live to New York City via Democracy Now!, where they are streaming live the Aaron Swartz Memorial. We're going to play a short news clip about Aaron so you get an idea who he is from Free Speech Radio News first, and then we'll go live to New York City where all sorts of folks are speaking on his behalf. So here is that clip, and stay tuned to the WGXC Saturday Afternoon Show.
Prosecutors filed to dismiss charges against open internet activist Aaron Swartz, who hung himself on Friday in New York. Swartz was 26 years old. Federal authorities had charged him with